no, yeah, this is, that's exactly what I wanted to do. But I want them to, you know, so we'll talk about it on the show.
Yeah, we will, which has already started. Hello, welcome to the Max Show. Yes, we're in a bit of bedlam at the minute because it's been a day that I could have forgotten quite happily. The window lickers are all sticking, talking amongst themselves. And I could have done without going up to my parents' house with 20 minutes to go to showtime. Joining me, fantastic bunch. We've got an assembled panel that will go down in history as the biggest assembled panel we've ever had, I think. If AZ bothers to come to the big show tonight, that could be it. Starting us off, top left, Chuck Joyner, the man. How the devil are you, buddy?
I'm great, Ewan. Good to see you. Good to see everybody.
Yes, apologies for starting a little bit later than normal. How the devil have you been?
Been good, busy, you know, as always, but there's nothing new about that, like everybody else on the panel.
Now, you've put an appeal out, haven't you? You're looking for people who've got an AR.
A 10R, yeah. I'm planning to do a show next week about the 10R and first weekend with, and struggling to find at least a lot of our friends who bought them. I think everybody jumped into the 10S or 10SX.
Yeah, no, I don't think... have I just changed the picture? No.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. How the hell? Oh, God. I've got to learn how to use this software. I've only had it for, what, 4 months now, 5 months? So when's the show airing?
I don't know. It depends on whether I get anybody to
He's got a few people.
So there's an appeal. It's a Blue Peter appeal from BTN to go out and to find someone who's got a 10R so that they can be on the show with Chuck.
Yeah, there you go.
Who on earth the bloody hell's... Greeny, piss off. You don't need to call. Greeny, don't call. Don't call on Skype because you're in the studio. The studio works fine. It's just that Rickards is hogging the frigging mic.
I like the mic.
Oh, he does like the mic. He likes the mic lots. The other mic's not working. We'll sort it out, all right? You're not dialing in.
Why the bloody heck would they put Muller between them if they have to share the mic?
Yeah, because Muller can't use it anyway. Next to him. Yeah. Sorry, Chuck. Adam.
God, it is the Three Stooges.
It is. It is. It bloody is. Adam, how the devil are you, man?
I'm doing great. By the way, Chuck Joyner, best dressed man in podcasting.
Oh, easily. Easily. Oh, yeah. There is no one close.
Thank you.
Have you been well, Adam?
I've been good. Hanging out here.
What's the white count
Life's
now?
Life's good. You got me beat now because I'm only down about 41 pounds, maybe.
No, I'm not quite. So you're still probably just a bit ahead of me, just a little bit.
Yeah, you're catching up fast. I'm slowing down. I'm doing well. I'm getting near my goal weight.
I got plenty to catch up fast with, so that's the difference.
But yeah, feeling good. Life is okay.
Good.
Rolling along here, and yeah.
Excellent. Next to him, Patrice. How you doing, mate?
A bit better today.
Bad boy. What happened? You stepped out of the bathroom.
Yeah, that was it.
I'm getting old.
I'm guessing that's probably it. Might also just be all the sitting I'm doing, like in the office and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is why I have a standing desk at home.
Are you standing up at the moment then?
Yeah, I'm standing.
Oh, okay, right. It's not a joke. That wasn't a joke about his height. Stop it.
I'm actually quite tall, so.
Yeah. Next team, Steve Sandy.
Hello, everybody. How's it going?
It's all right, mate. 2 weeks on the bounce.
Yeah, I tell you, this is a new record here. We're going to, you know, break all records.
Yeah.
Awesome. For audience participation, whatever. I don't know.
Excellent, mate. So you didn't get a 10R?
No, hell no. I've got my little 10S Max here, so.
Yeah.
In a blue
little
case.
You mean ginormous 10S Max.
I had a moment of madness earlier, and I decided I was going to cut my logo out of the back of the coral thing that I got.
The case?
I can't cut through it with the laser. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculously strong and thick. It might actually be worth 40 quid now. Because my laser won't go through it. It just won't go through it.
Is that the silicone?
It's silicon, yeah. It should be able to go through it, but it won't. Hmm? So I tried to do an outline, and it's dirty as hell now. I need to try and get in there with a toothbrush and try and clean it. But
What laser do you have, Ewan?
I've got a laser. I bought a commercial laser etcher because I've got a vision of doing it for a business. So
he's been lasing everything.
I have. I've had a go at everything. I've done the back of my phone case. There we go. That's,
so you're taking after Doc
etched,
Rock.
Huh? Etched after that. Yeah, there we go. And then I've made some mats that are over there. There's a BTN mat if someone wants to model it.
Yeah, they're lovely.
Yeah, the BTN mat is absolutely gorgeous, the coaster.
Oh, you mean coasters. I was like, I'm thinking you made a doormat?
Yeah,
no. How does that work?
There you go. There's
that would be fun.
There's the BTN coaster. I made it. No, you did show it. There's the 12-meter. Yeah, and there's a BTN coaster there in the other end.
Those look great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The BTN one's really lovely. And there's one for the handyman thing. What handyman? For Crikey Trousers. If you're on audio, this is fantastic. Go and get the video podcast because you'll love this.
Great podcast.
That's the best one. That came
for
out
people brilliant. Listening at home, Muller is holding up square wood coasters
with
Crikey Trousers logo on it.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Well, it's in a lovely relief that's as well. Nice. So if you put a piece of paper on and wax rubbed it, you'd get like a...
He's
a
also dancing in a yellow shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a
the studio... We have the Honourable James Rickard. He hasn't got the mic. He's been hogging the mic all the time. And then it's his turn. He hasn't got it.
I tell you why. Typical. It was getting a bit tight, so we had to find a communal place to leave it, and then we'll grab it as we need it. How are you, Ewan?
I'm all right, mate. You're living back here now, aren't you? Not in France. And I'm going to France next week to see you, and you're not there.
He's actually put the Jeep down the road from where I live. So he's going to stay with a good friend of mine who owns a Jeep, and I'm not going to be there. Which is, I know it's good for him, I guess. I'm not following him around like a stalker.
And I can't publish this podcast now until after I've come back, because then we'll get burgled.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's not going anywhere. No, I'm sleeping in his studio while he's away. Yes, it's good to be here. It's good. Travel down to see you, which is good.
Awesome.
We having a curry later?
We're going from here to the curry house, all of us.
Oh, my God.
The whole family's coming as well.
Really?
And I think Ellis is coming back afterwards for the show, for good. The big show. So that'd be
good
awesome.
On him. So very much worth the travel down.
Excellent, mate. Next to you is Greeny Boy.
Hello, old chap.
Apparently you're a podcaster now.
I was a podcaster even before you.
No, as in, I've got
you actually put out an episode, I think, is what he's alluding to.
Yes.
You put out an episode, yeah.
Wow.
Well, they're like golden nuggets in the podcasting world, really, aren't they?
That's the first one in what? 2 years?
8 months.
8 months, really?
8 months, yeah. I thought I have to get one in before the end of the year. And there's going to be a second one, actually, on Halloween.
You'll forgive me for saying I'll see it when I believe it.
He didn't say which year.
Good point. Good point. Well spotted.
No, it has to be on the 31st because it's going to follow up the day after the Apple special announcement. So I thought that would be...
Which we're not covering.
Aren't we?
First, we're not. First Apple announcement I haven't covered for ages because I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be in France.
I think it's going to be the most exciting one.
That figures, doesn't it? That just bloody figures.
I think new Macs, iPad. I don't give a monkey's, but a new Mac would be nice. It's so good.
Everybody knows France has zero internet.
Oh, that's, I don't know. Have I got Wi-Fi at the Jeep?
Yeah.
Have I? That's all right. I can probably watch it.
Do Hangouts.
Wow.
7 megabytes.
7.6 megabytes down.
Oh my God.
Have I
got any chance of cell phone signal?
No, there's none where you are at all. None. You have to go up on the hill. I told you
France doesn't have cell phones.
It's lived on the back of camels. I've told him this. Comes once a week.
I'm going for a swim. I'm going for a swim in that pool. If I have to chip the ice off, I'm going for a swim.
I couldn't comment about the pool situation.
And last but by no means least, Muller.
Hello, mate.
You're all right, buddy.
I'm fine.
Good to see you back in the studio. I haven't been for a while.
No, I've had some family problems, but hopefully they're all sorted now.
Good. Excellent, mate. Superb. The week in Apple, then, what's gone on and what's been happening? The lead story, actually, as soon as we turned on the computer this evening on Mac Rumors, is that they're comparing the iPhone XS Max to the Google, what's it called, Pixel 3.
Pixel 3 XL?
Yeah, and they're comparing the night shift image or night sight image. It's a machine learning that's there to choose the right colors based on the content of the image. It gives much brighter photos in low light conditions without using a flash.
Woohoo! So let's make our night low light photos where we want all this cool moodiness and we want to actually take a picture of what we're seeing and make it look like it's in the middle of the day.
Yep. great idea.
Well, fair point. But I don't know.
Right? Isn't one of the reasons you're taking low light photos generally, at least for me, is like you're trying to capture a mood or a setting I look at that photo, that sample photo, and it looks like a great photo. I get it. Like, hey, we want to be able to see everybody and get the details, but you would have no idea if you saw that photo and someone didn't tell you it was taken at nighttime, you would not know. The sample photo that they're showing off.
Playback what you just said. It's Google. They want to get all the details and see everybody in the photo.
Oh, that is true.
Yep.
Oh.
Yes. Good point.
Controversial. Oh, man. It's just to improve their algorithm.
Yeah.
You start to wonder.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Ewan, but I mean, if you took a low light photo like that and if you had enough information, if it was the right photo, I mean, you could post-process and get that effect in many other ways. So if you did want to take your iPhone photo and match that, I would imagine there's either third-party apps at this point or just other techniques you could apply to do it. And I get that, you know, this is doing it automatically, so very, very cool. I'm not trying to necessarily bash it, but my first thought was, like, usually if I'm taking a low-light photo, what I want is a really good low-light photo. I don't want photo that's been doctored to look like a not low light photo.
I think that it's a typical Google thing. I mean, they're looking at the technology, they're applying technology without really thinking about what is the right approach. Are people even caring about this? I mean, think back about a couple of months ago when they showed off that voice assistant calling feature where they could basically a machine could call a restaurant for you. They didn't think about the impact or the privacy implications and all of that. They were just like, this is a cool technology, let's put it out there. And I think this is the same thing. It's like, yeah, it's cool technology, like you said, Adam. It's just, it's not the right way of applying it.
So the only thing I'm going to say is if you take something in low light, the one thing you always get is a high grain. So you're going to have loads and loads of grain in the image. And if you look at the picture of the fire extinguishers, which is far better as an example in comparison, you look at the amount of grain that there is, even in the underexposed image within the iPhone XS, compared to the amount of grain that there isn't in the just at distance. I mean, I'm not doing 100%. I'm just looking on the story here, and they're really low quality images. But there looks a lot less grain in night shift, whereas when you tend to boost an image to see it from dark details, you get a very high quantity of grain. And so if they've got rid of the grain somehow, that seems quite impressive to me.
Yeah. And that's exactly my point, though, is so like if they can do that, why isn't the goal making a better looking low light photo? Like, I'm not arguing that Apple's pretty bad still at low light photos. Even my iPhone XR suffers from a number of issues that even I can see in terms of grain, in terms of how it applies the smoothing, which I think is often overdone. Why the focus should be taking a better low light photo that captures what you're trying to capture. That's my point.
So
the technology I want is just better low light photos.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the picture of the kids in Central Park, that you're never going to capture that without doing HDR because you can't balance the sky on the foreground because they're backlit.
I mean, keep the sky dark and brighten up the people so you can see faces and details.
Well, the sky would burn out.
Still see the lights of the city and the...
No, so if you raise the exposure of the people, the skyline will burn out, whereas what they've done is...
But they're doing all this stuff selectively. They've got depth cameras and they've got, you know, auto masking and they've got AI and they've got, you know, all this computational stuff that they're doing anyway to achieve that, right? They're not just applying a exposure adjustment across the whole thing.
Well, there's still physics involved. They can't do anything else other than change the dynamic range of the image.
But they can do it selectively.
But well, they look like they are doing it selectively, but that's what Apple's doing with their HDR, and they did it fairly well up until the last version. But you're never going to raise the foreground without burning out the background, and then you end up with the same problem that you look like you've got an overexposed daytime photo, and that's going to be right. Same. That's going to be same whether you're shooting with a 5D Mark IV or whether you're doing it with your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So that won't change anything. It's interesting because, like I say, the one image that really struck me was the two fire extinguishers, because there looks to be decidedly less grain in the Pixel 3 image, which I don't know how they've done that, but it does look to be that way.
Again, too, I mean, you got to remember, take thousands of photos with both those phones and then cherry pick the best ones from each, right?
I think you're doing it a disservice. They've got something there that is groundbreaking, something that is beyond what the current image is showing. And I'm not saying that they haven't taken crap images, but this isn't Google taking these pictures, because this is whoever's reviewed it taking these pictures, because they're taken in Britain. Because the carport one there with the covered cars, that's a British registration plate. Which is now going to be on every single criminal's car.
Yay.
Going forward. So, no, I think it's interesting. I think there's something there to wince at a bit. And we did say the last time when the Pixel 2 came out about the comparisons, and there was merit in the Pixel images, from what I recall. Mm-hmm. Tim Cook has utilized the iPhone XR 10R launch day to get a jolly to Milan.
No, that's not why he's there.
Yeah, no. It is. We all know it's just a private jet over, for a jolly.
He went over to Brussels to speak at the International Conference of Data Protection and Privacy.
Have you got your Sirius head on, Adam, today?
He does. You can see that. It says S on it.
He does. He's got it.
No, I mean, because that's like a huge thing, because he did a keynote, and when's the last time
he's getting in the way of a good gag? The truth is getting in the way of a good gag there, Adam.
Yeah, he needed new shoes. That's why
he went to Milan. There we go.
On your... Okay.
No, so go on. You want to make a point here, because it was what he said at that conference, which is interesting you, isn't it, mate?
Well, he basically called out Google and Facebook and everybody else.
Yeah, fight.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he didn't name them by name, but I mean, he said companies need to de-identify and depersonalize information, and that, you know, he basically said that they're hiding behind, you know, that they need to do it for revenue, which is a bit disingenuous, because, you know, the business models are very different and the companies were founded very differently. But
is Apple getting revenue from desensitized data, though?
Well, they don't need to use that, because they make their revenue elsewhere, right? They make their revenue from selling hardware and software and other services. I mean, so they don't make their money from ads like Google. Google and Facebook are advertising companies. Almost all of their revenue comes from those sources.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, Apple is indirectly still making money from that data, because they're using it to tune their algorithms to like provide better services. So indirectly, they're still making money. It's just they're not selling the data itself.
It's not their core business. And anybody who is in advertising knows that advertising, to sell advertising, your advertisers want data. They want to know who they're selling to and who their customers are, and the more deeply they can know that, the more they like it, and the more revenue you can generate from it.
I mean,
nobody's going to generate data, and I mean, nobody's going to generate it without using it in some fashion. It's really how it's used, and I think that's the difference. To Patrice's point, Apple's using it, but Apple's using it to improve their services, improve things, and frankly, probably to target certain things at you. Within the Apple ecosystem, But the other seem to be, it just feels worse because it feels like it's the wild, wild west out there and you're having things given over that to people that you really never intended.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the other piece is, I mean, Google isn't even pretending that they're like really anonymizing data. I mean, they have everything about you. They're using the data as is. Whereas Apple has actually put things in place on your device to make sure that the data that your device sends, even so the second it leaves your phone, it can't be identified. It can't be, I mean, they can't tell that it came from you. And I think that is a big difference.
Yeah. I mean, there's some debate about how well they're doing that or, you know, if that's even possible within the security and privacy community. But yeah. I mean, to lay out for people, so they understand, like in his keynote, and I almost fully agree with all three points he put out. So he said, you know, he laid out basically there's three things every company he feels should be doing or Apple fee. I don't know if it's, I guess, Tim Cook or Apple, you know, who he's speaking for, but and it's basically a lot of the stuff that was intended in the GDPR, which is you have the right to have your personal data minimized, meaning like companies should only collect the data that they need for the service or feature that they are trying to sell you, basically. And, you know, as a web developer, I know there's a lot of companies that are guilty of this. I have clients who will do this, you know, they'll want to collect all kinds of data in a form or something like that. And when you ask them, why do you need that bit of data? They often don't have an answer. It's just, oh, I just want to collect it just in case, or someday I might need it. Or, you know, I think I could use that. So that's what that's talking about. The second is the right to know what data is being collected in kind of a clear way and what it's being used for. And then the last thing is just the right to be able to see that data once they've collected it, to be able to go someplace and see the data that's collected and have it removed, right? Or and I guess there's a fourth point, and this is probably the hugest one, the biggest one I think we're dealing with, is the security of that data. Like if you are going to collect that data, you are responsible for making sure that data is secure and not compromised, which is the huge problem we have now, right? Like every day, data breach of millions and billions of accounts with, you know, insert any company here. And again, as somebody who's worked in the web industry and dealt with people's data and had to fight tooth and nail with executives about how they're storing data and putting data in places, you know, and companies not wanting to spend the money or not wanting to do the right thing, you know, it's tough. For someone like me who's going, wow, you guys are doing the wrong thing and I can't stop you. And I've seen it, you know, from the back end. And ultimately left places because I didn't agree with what was going on.
Yeah, exactly. I've had the same experience, unfortunately.
So I think those are all good goals, and those are all things that all companies should be striving for. And, you know, Apple claims to be sort of leading the way, and I think they are. But again, at the end of the day, we only have their word for it, right?
Well, yeah, and I mean, even if Apple is leading the way, it doesn't mean that they're not collecting data. I mean, they have analytics, they have a lot of things. They sell actually ads, so.
Well, they're being fined in Italy for dishonest practice with throttling, aren't they? So they're not whiter than white. Uh-huh. They've got to be careful that they don't sow themselves too with that. So,
And they're raising a high bar, and if they do get caught doing something, there's way bigger ramifications. Because at least with Google, you know they're doing it and what they're doing with it. Whereas Apple's saying we are not doing any of this. If it ever gets out that they did. Mm-hmm. You know, that they're going to take a huge hit for it.
Yeah, but that's so also why I believe Apple more than I would believe even Facebook or Google. I mean, one, it's not their core business, but also they have much more to lose. Like Apple would lose face, would lose a lot of like customers probably even if anything like that ever came out, because they put themselves out there as we're leading the way in privacy. Whereas like Facebook isn't really even pretending. Like they're like, nope, we're collecting everything. We're making everything available to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, the comment that I picked up on was the one that led within the story. If data privacy isn't addressed, the problem gets so large it may be impossible to fix, says Cook. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a fair point.
We may already be there, honestly. Yes. I mean, the amount of data that I've given over to Google and Facebook, just myself, I mean, it's too late for me, for sure.
Yeah. I think it's too late for everyone. I mean, anybody who has ever used even like Google as a search engine, and I mean, chances are 99% of people in the world have, or at least the ones that have internet access. Yeah, I mean, you're done. You have handed over your data already.
Yeah,
too late.
Can I say something about that?
I'm just surprised how good their algorithms are at figuring out what it is that you know, companies want to target you with. You know, sometimes I feel like they're reading my mind, and we've all experienced that before. You know, the just the incredible accuracy with which they're able to almost determine what it is you want to buy and when you want to buy it.
No, their incredible accuracy is to target you with what you've just bought.
That's Amazon.
By the way, you purchased this. Did you know that's obsolete already?
Green, yeah. you had a comment to make. Go on.
Oh yeah, only because I work quite closely with Google, and so every Google search you do is stored sort of in your browser if you're using Chrome or Safari, and you can clear your history. But it may, so obviously your search results are still stored with Google.
Mm-hmm.
And it was incredibly difficult in the past to be able to log in and clear that stuff on the Google servers. But now it's really easy. I won't go through the steps, mm-hmm. but if you do a quick Google on clearing my search history from the Google servers, there's a really easy way of doing it now. So it's cleared off their servers as well. So that should help with, you know, if you're
getting... They moved the link to that, I think, this week or last week to the main Google search page. So if you're logged into your account, you go to the main Google search page, there is a link right there now where you can get to your search history and all the data that they have on you and manage it. I haven't gone in to look at it yet to see what's available, but I think it's just they had that screen before, but it was buried.
I think it's history.google.com or something like that. It has existed for years, actually.
The thing that scares me about that is before, no one could get to my search history, and no one could go to the porn sites that I've been to when I get into elected office. And now there's a link that you can go to clear it. People can use that link to go and see my search history for when I get to elected office.
You're talking about if they go on your computer and are logged into your account.
Well, I've only got to go to history.google.com/you-and-ranking, and that's it.
No. It's history.google.com, and it will show it for your account. Yeah, so if you have an account with Google, it will show that. And you can even change the settings, what they are allowed to collect.
I've only got to log into my account and go to my history.
Yeah, I can't look at your search history. No. It's not public.
Oh, you can't.
So if there's a link, someone can. That's my point.
Yeah, I mean, take it for the homework for next session. For the big show, let anybody... Have a go
let's
and see
that,
what
yeah.
let's see what Ewan's been looking
let's,
at.
Let's find Ewan's porn site
right now. What are you talking about?
What's more,
we have a show
what's
title.
More interesting, Google actually, for example, also collects all the audio files from your if you have a Google Home, what was it, Google Home device, those assistants.
All right.
Yeah, there are actually audio snippets in there that you can listen to.
So does Amazon. I mean,
listen to all
your audio recordings.
Yeah. Right, we're on the server. Basically, Ewan's been looking at Care Bears. I don't know what that means. What the hell's a Care Bear?
Well, it's a bear as in like a gay thing, I think.
Oh, but, the big bear. Uh-huh. Oh, that's it. Uh-huh. All hairy.
That
lovely.
Was someone else borrowing my laptop.
That's right. Yeah. What, 5:05 in the morning? Amazing.
Well, I mean, it's quiet here at 5:05.
It's very quiet in here.
You can get up to anything, mate.
Deepan is asking a good question. Is the button to clear the history from Google servers the same as the button in the elevator to close the doors? And, I mean, technically it is, because Google still has backups of all data. I mean, they're supposed to delete them over time, but, I mean, at least for a little while, they could just restore your data once you've clicked that button. They're not supposed to, but then again, nothing is stopping them from doing so.
Well, I mean, that comes back to the same thing I said about Apple or any other company, right? I mean, this only goes as far as you trust them, you know. So they're saying they're deleting and expunging and removing this, but are they really? Who knows?
Yeah, well, I think they are because I talk to Google a lot, and I suppose they could lie to me, but I don't think so. I think they're being genuine. I don't think,
oh, I think they're being genuine too.
Yeah, I don't think it would have made it so easy to delete your search history and everything else from the Google servers rather than your sort of your local browser. And if they were lying, there'd be a massive trouble.
Here's the thing though, and this is something that did bother me about the GDPR, and I think I talked about it at that time too, right? Because one of the things is that companies do have to give you a way to remove your data, and they have to remove your data. The problem is if they're doing it properly, they have absolutely no way of proving it.
Right? They must mm-hmm. have, and they if must
they,
have
if
logs.
They haven't, they have to lie about it. So
show
you know,
me all the data
way,
you don't have.
Either right, yeah. Either way, I mean, there's no way you can yeah. ever know.
Well, the logs.
Yeah. Even if
there's going to be log history that proves that.
No, yeah. you can't have that because that's potentially identifying.
Yes, yeah. Yes, you cannot have any identifying information in logs.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, I mean, by that, I'm saying we have expunged, say, you know, 10,000 searches, right. And here's the proof that we've expunged it. It doesn't actually identify what the searches were, but it does identify that they have.
But it identifies the user. Again, you have to remove all information that would identify back to you. So if they've done their job properly, they cannot say we deleted Will's data because they wouldn't have a log that data was ever attached, even the log of the data being attached to. It is a dilemma. It's a weird thing with how the laws are written, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is you need to remove all personally identifiable information. Mm-hmm. Well, a log that says we deleted Will's records
proves
that you had records on Google.
Don't bring it on me. I've got nothing to hide. Yes, no, I like nuns. That's
the point I'm trying to make. So if they're doing their job properly, they cannot get subpoenaed to say, did you delete Adam's data from your servers? Well, we did, but we can't prove it because we couldn't log that we deleted Adam's data from our servers, because that would mean that you would know Adam had data on our servers.
Well, the mere fact that you were bringing a case against Google for not deleting your data would prove that you had an account with Google, wouldn't it? So.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the paradox.
Yeah.
I've personally kept my data. I think it's interesting reading on those long winter nights. I'm going to have a good time. Adam, what have you got to hide?
Nothing. I told you already. If the ship has sailed for me, my, you know, people can Google me for everything and get most of my life. Like I put out audio recordings talking on this show and other shows talking about all aspects of my life. Yeah. Like there's like, yeah, you can't, I can't hide at this point.
No. I released a British pack today for one of the first times in a long time. And I did visit the mattcast.com because your news section is very good and a good source of show notes. So there we go.
You know, I want to make another point though. We're talking a lot about Google and Facebook and Apple and all that, but the amount of data that's collected that is not from our computers is kind of scary. I mean, think about every bonus card you've signed up at every supermarket or every department store. Think about the fact that you go and get your oil changed at a dealer or someone, and they're collecting your mileage and then selling it to Carfax.
Your license plate number, your VIN number. Yeah, I mean, like, let's not just talk about that.
Yeah, so if an insurance company wants to know, or life insurance company wants to know how many times you visited a fast food place last month, or how many miles you put on between date A and date B, they can find it out. It's everywhere, and it's not just a question of what's on our computers, but it's a question of all the data that's being collected by the services we all use, and then what's being done with that data to our benefit or not to our benefit.
Yeah. I was going to say, for the first time in the UK, I actually noticed an advert, which is a health insurance company, that are giving you a free Apple Watch. Now, there's been Fitbits given you know, with these sort of incentives before, but it's the first time I've seen an Apple Watch being given. And obviously it's an insurance company that happens to do fitness as well. And as we know with the old sort of slip, trips and falls thing, that, you know, if you wear this watch, you get money off your, you know...
Yeah, but is the data... The data's not reporting back there because they couldn't set that up.
But surely they can request it.
No, they can't.
They're giving you a watch for a reason, right?
That's they can't give you a watch and then tell you that you've got to send the data from the watch back to them.
Maybe not in the UK.
Oh, they can.
Here in the US, it's already happening. John Hancock Life Insurance will give you an Apple Watch if you let them have the data, and they will give you lower rates for doing exercise. So the more you exercise, the healthier you are, they will lower your rates.
Out of my mouth, Adam. Yep.
That's a scary bit, because that's being shown on our TVs right now in the UK, and I think it's just a bit of an eye-opener, really, that actually saying, you know, I mean, motivation-wise, what a great way to get fit. I mean, I need to jump on the bandwagon with you guys, definitely, and you're looking for that motivation however it comes. And for somebody who wants to get fit, and obviously the chance of having a free Apple Watch, they're going to jump on that and go... Yeah,
it's a bit of a shame that 1984 is 34 years late, really, isn't it?
Well, and also that 1984 is not the government, it's private companies.
And it's us, honestly.
We're handing it all over, really.
Well,
we're handing it over.
That's easily the most sensible and boring conversation we've ever had on the Mac Show. It's got to be right up there. True.
All right, let's do something.
Started by me.
And Will Green took part in it.
Oh,
let's do
impossible. I know this stuff.
$2,000 G5 Mac Pros.
Well, I have to be honest, I do agree with you, and it was very, very, very dull. and I did try and put a bit of saucy nuns in there just to see if we could elevate the dullness.
Thank you, Robin Asquith.
Let's do a story that's all about arses.
Grey Key, the Grey Key's done, isn't it? After the iOS 12 upgrade, Grey Key won't work anymore.
You're keeping it serious. Yeah. I tried to give you a transition.
I just wanted to add that onto that story just because it's interesting that he's done that, and then they've doubled down on security, etc., and Grey Key no longer works. So Grey Key was the box
until it does again, right?
Yeah, don't you think that's just a matter of time again?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to be hopscotch, you know, back and forth.
Yeah. I think what's good is, though, it's showing that they're not going to stop trying to patch it. That's the thing, isn't it? If a story that comes out, then they go, yeah, we've patched it. And everything's going to be USB-C soon anyway, so... Them little lightning.
What, you don't think that they can change the leads on the Grey Key?
No, impossible.
It's a lightning.
Impossible.
They've gone through the Mac approval scheme.
Approval. Oh, that's fudged us right up there.
The Grey Key. We've made a box that can hack into any Apple device, but we need to apply for approval for the lightning connector on the end. Otherwise, we can't use it.
They don't need to apply for approval. They go buy a lightning cable.
Yeah,
and they cut
Ewan,
the
what are you on about?
They solder it on their thing. Yeah.
What? Where's Adam? Where's Adam Christensen? What have you done with him? Jesus Christ, Adam!
What'd I do? I ruined the joke again?
Yeah. What you? Yes. What you didn't notice?
I'm just here to be the wet blanket today.
You just tripped over that joke and broke it. Apple planning to
it
fix.
It wasn't that funny.
Ooh.
Okay.
Mate, don't make us glad that you're going. Apple planning to fix Beauty Gate with skin smoothing camera effect in the backward facing camera.
This is good. I'm very happy about this
story,
actually.
I don't want them to.
What?
I've taken some selfies because I've been losing weight as well. But I've been taking some selfies, and I look better. I don't want them to take the frigging thing away.
Get Facetune and call it a day.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
sorry,
that's the ironic thing. There are apps that do this, and people pay money for those apps. Apple gave it to you, and
because it was a software bug. They discovered it was a bug in the camera system. It was selecting a frame that had left the shutter open a little bit too long, and so it was that was what was causing when they were doing the the merging of the images, then it was causing the smoothing effect. And the problem is not just faces, it's doing it on everything. So the texture of your clothing, the texture of leaves in the background, whatever it might be. So, and that was the issue I was having with it is, you know, when you're taking other types of photos, it's, I call it the sort of watercolor effect, right? It's everything gets kind of mushy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, Bob Beach agrees with me. It's the only thing that makes him look good. It's true. I want it. I accept that it's a fault. That's okay, but it's a good fault, and it needs to turn into a button.
So, that'd be cool.
Would you Would you like Face Gate, Beauty Gate, the Beauty Gate button? That's what we need. Apple's Beauty Gate button.
Why not? I think a lot of people would like that feature in, in their selfie camera. You know,
I won't. I'm not going to 12.2. I'm not going to 12.2. If that goes in 12.2, I'm not updating. That's the end of it.
It's 12.1 is supposed to be the fix.
Oh, that means I've already got it. Shit, didn't notice.
Are you on the beta?
No. So 12.1. I'm not going to 12.1. There we go.
Not 12.0.1.
In 5 years' time, you'll have a phone with 12.1 on.
Yeah.
Too late for it.
And I only know that because I screwed it up on the last MacCast, and I kept saying 12.1 instead of 12.01.
And it still won't talk to me obsolete watch. launch day for the 10R.
Today.
No one here has got it. A delivery day today, isn't it? One's ordered one?
No. You can get it from the Apple shop today, can't you?
Yeah. Is the stock?
Yeah.
There is. A Buku de stock or...
I don't know about that part, but you can go into an Apple store and buy one today.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah, because I went in Monday and I was thinking, I'm in an R-in. They'd only give me £170 for my 7, and I only owe 3 payments on it. So what I'm thinking is I'll pay me this one off, and I've got my phone, and I'll go and start a new contract with Apple.
Yeah, but it's a massive phone. It'd be a great upgrade for you from a 7.
Well, they didn't have any in stock that day. They were
ordered it,
and I asked him what colours were in. He says, well, I've everything apart from the red. The red, red they'd run out of already, you know, on pre-booking, so all the colours were available apart from red.
It's the best iPhone they put out this year. I'll say it right now. It is the best iPhone they put out this year.
Well, they've managed to convince us £749 is cheap for a phone. That's clever, isn't it?
That's very clever.
Super clever.
Everybody calling it the affordable iPhone or the low cost iPhone, and it's like it's the same. It's actually more expensive than the 8.
It's incredible that you know we. Like I said, we've got to a point in our whole lives where that actually seems like a cheap phone. It's like, it's not. It's so expensive. It's more than my first car.
Was really mad that the original iPhone cost $599.
It's more than your first Austin 7.
Mate, mini Metro, mint green. It was beautiful. God.
The doors did close properly. It wasn't even before that.
The suspension dropped on the side. You had to be pumped up.
Yeah, no.
Anybody in the UK knows exactly what I'm about. Yeah, to jack up the suspension. We used to go around like that on the edge.
We built the Mini Metro in the traditions of the Mini. Yeah, you mean the doors still don't close properly after 30 friggin' years.
True story, I locked my keys in that car, and the way I broke in was I broke the aerial off, folded it in half, and jammed it into lock and turned it. And it opened the car door. Yeah, not even a lie. I broke the aerial off and jammed it in, but there you go.
What the 10R is the best value of iPhone. New iPhone that you can buy this year. I mean, that's the way to say that. You're getting $4 for features of a premium phone. You're getting a premium phone at a good price is how I would say it. Not you're getting a low cost iPhone or a, you know, cheap iPhone or whatever you want, however you want. Other people want to seem to term that.
And zero queues at stores for it.
I think they knew it was going to be a huge seller. A lot of people are trying to read into this that there's low demand. I don't think we're going to find when the numbers come out and when the quarterly results come out. I think what we're going to find in here is there's huge demand for it. It's just they knew there was going to be huge demand and they ramped up. I think, you know, a lot of what the extra time was is about ramping up too.
I think a lot of the mobile companies have got them though, haven't they? So people probably get them on contract. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's probably the reason why they're not really going mad because it's, I'm pretty sure that, well, 3 were pushing it on me. Vodafone, they had them as well, didn't they? And they've all got them on launch day, which is unusual.
Well, and Apple has de-emphasized going into the store. I mean, they for phone launches, right? They want people in stores for a different reason, but for like device launches, they really have been pushing pre-orders and pre-sales and deliveries. I mean, it's really on Apple that they de-emphasize like the whole launch day frenzy at a retail location. They've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
So people are pretty much conditioned not to go to an Apple store to buy one on launch day at this point. I mean, I know I felt that.
Yeah, I can recall the days when you'd go stand in the line on the launch date just to kind of get the thrill and excitement of doing that. But that wore out pretty quickly, you know.
I don't think it wore out. I think it wore out because no one went, because they told no one to go to the store when they did the Apple, the watch launch.
Right.
They killed it. It wasn't the vibe from the fans. It was them. Angela Ahrens decided she didn't want people cluttering up the stores.
Yeah. Yep.
Totally. So you, as an ex-Apple employee, you're saying that's what it was, James?
Yeah, definitely. When she came on board and replaced Ron,
Browett or whatever it was, because he was just a twat.
He was. Yeah. So she came on obviously because obviously coming from Burberry, she knew all about how this worked, and she constantly told us to push the message that we can get this device by lots of means now. You don't have to stand outside.
Yeah.
So we were telling people all the way up to any launch was, hey, look, let's help you order that now in store.
Yeah. I was going to say they were doing that. Yeah, you would go into store and they would say, we don't have it here, but let me order it for you online. And they would walk customers through like how to order online. I saw that in my own retail stores.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I mean, it's just like there's different ways to buy, and that's what you were telling people. There was different ways to buy. And quite rightly so. I mean, who does want to, especially if you work, you've got a busy, hectic life, and you do want that phone, you could just wait in the morning, it'd be delivered that morning. So it is interesting that we're always pushing that narrative. But, they definitely didn't want people outside waiting anymore because obviously it encouraged the bad element, which is always reported on, getting foreign illegals to stand in the queue and pay for spaces and things like that. That started to be big business. No matter where you look, that was huge.
So what?
Well,
phone snipers and people paying people to stay in queue and buy multiple phones. And it was becoming there was becoming this whole secondary market
that was
artificially driving up demand and pricing. And then that was bad for Apple's customers because they would get there and, some conglomerate of guys had bought out all the stock and then were standing on the street trying to sell them, hey, come around the corner, I'll sell you this phone for $500 premium.
It's also hugely demoralizing for the people who work in all these stores. You think every store has 150 plus people who work in that store, and when that iPhone launched, or even iPad or in Apple Watch at some point, that that's just going to be a miserable couple of weeks until we get rid of all of that, And some people would take holiday because they just didn't want to be part of that whole kind of rigmarole of just having people who could barely speak the language and have bits of paper with scrawled on iPhone 4S 32 gig black, and they'd pass this bit of manky old paper to each other as it was leaving the store. That's how bad it was. And I actually remember one time where the bus actually pulled up outside, all the policemen came out and they bundled all these guys off in. Outside the ball ring.
They should do that as a honeypot, shouldn't they, for criminals? Yeah.
But, think where Angela came from. I mean, it makes perfect sense that she would want Apple's customers treated better than that. And, that, like you say, for a while it was fun and exciting and there was a lot of camaraderie, and then you ran into these kind of problems.
Yeah, but we're in an age, Chuck, where a few arseholes spoil it for everyone, because the response from corporations is to avoid the few arseholes rather than just realizing that it's spoiling it for everyone. And everyone is risk-averse, image-averse, and it drives me mental.
Yeah, I agree with that, Ewan, but at the same time, I'm not sure who made the point. I work too. And so I was having to miss time from work or take time off to go and stand in that queue. And get it. And it's much nicer to be able to say, hey, we were doing it here a couple weeks ago on the Mac show where, we're tracking our iPhones. We know right where they are. They're out for delivery. In fact, I think Patrice and Adam were tracking the truck, for crying out loud.
Yes.
I'm just thinking of Chuck saying, it's much nicer to be in the wrong location while my phone was delivered to work because I'm doing this dumb show with you boys.
Actually, Adam actually had the heartbeat of the driver as well, didn't he?
via his Apple Watch.
Yeah, but to the point that, you know, okay, you would take them over and show them how to do it. Frankly, you know, if you step back a minute, we're not the ones that needed to be shown, but there are a lot of people that was still, even at that point, was intimidating for. And so Apple's expanding their market by, okay, we have a borderline concierge service that we're not calling a concierge service that, okay, we don't have it, but we will make sure you get it and we will get you exactly what you want. So I don't see it. I see it as an evolution. It's not a bad thing. It's just an evolution.
Okay, fair enough. I'd still miss them.
No,
she's still there, mate.
She's rip-roaring, mate. She's
doing
fat.
A great job, yeah.
She's doing a great job. Yeah. No, she's not doing anything wrong. She just did that wrong, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were very critical when she first started out and the first things she did, but, I mean, she's proven us wrong.
Are you sure about that? I'm sure they sacked her.
No, she's
still there.
They sacked the bloke that they got from Dixon's, which was just like, what the hell are you doing? I got the bloke from Dixon's to come and run Apple's
retail. He went on to JCPenney and they went out of business.
Yep.
Didn't Ron come from JCPenney? Ron came from JCPenney. Yeah.
I met Ron.
Did you? Ron Johnson?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
First name too.
It's one of those stories where you go, and what did you talk about? Well, you just told me to get out of the way.
But, yeah. I was a creative in Exeter, and he was there, good old Ron. I didn't smack his bum or anything. I should have done, shouldn't I?
But, what? How random's that?
Yeah, but it'd be quite nice, wouldn't it?
Ron Johnson's renowned for arse smacking. I don't think so.
I smacked Ron Johnson's bum.
You're thinking of a different.
That's not his name anyway.
Are you
right?
Sure you've got the? You're not thinking of Don Johnson or something like that? No,
it's Ron somebody, isn't it? What was his name? Ron
Johnson.
Yeah, no.
Ron Seal. No, is it Ron? It is Ron Johnson.
It is.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Ron Johnson.
Yeah.
Head of retail.
Yeah.
Created the Apple Store.
Yeah, I didn't exactly get into conversation with him, but I said hello, and he said hello, and that was about it, really. It wasn't very meaningful.
Okay. That's all right. It's more than I've done.
Well, yeah. He was a nice guy.
Cool.
The way he said hello.
What a charming what a charming anecdote, Will. Thank you very much.
I know. He liked creatives. He was...
Well, he didn't like you if he only said hello to you.
He did like me.
Well, he only said hello to you. Did he say hello to no one else then?
There was a cheeky wink going on.
Maybe you should have gone for the bum.
I know. I should have just sort of gently caressed it. I remember him standing at the window.
Career limitation, groping Ron Johnson in the Apple Store in Exeter.
Well, I could have.
We might have a show title.
I could have done.
Wikipedia says he was hired by JCPenney after his success at Apple and Target.
Yeah, well, I could have. I'm not going to go there. Doesn't matter.
I'll take the microphone off him.
Thank God. Thank God. Greeny in arse smacking shocker, says Deepan. Okay.
There's your transition to the bench.
So you want to talk about the bench. Why do you want to talk about the bench?
Because I wanted to build one of these out of some G5s. I think it looks beautiful. I want one of these.
Right, okay. I'll try and set a picture up.
Can you show a picture?
I'll try. Hang on. Well, I just gather the picture. There we go. There's the picture. And where's it gone? It's over here. And I'll bring it.
And plus, it's a British designer built this.
And it
have some pride, man.
Build a screen.
Talk us through it, then. Let's talk us through it, Adam.
So a pair of G5s with a plank between them. You got a bench.
Oh yes, I've seen this. The big silver cheese grater looking thing.
Yeah.
Yes, it's beautiful, isn't it? Really, really nice.
Except this guy wants still $2,500 for this thing. I just want the board. I can get the Max really cheap.
How much was it? Sorry.
To be fair, the board is 1995
pounds.
1995, mate. It's not Anorak 1995. It's 1,995.
Wow.
1,995 pounds.
And to be fair, not the value's not the 2G5 Max, obviously, because they're 30 quid on eBay.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that the board is a really nice piece of wood, and it is contoured to the curve of the handle. So
that's the key. Yeah, it just slots right in. I mean, but I had this idea. I wanted to build one of these. I've only got one G5 so far. I got to acquire another one. But
when
I thought this was
brilliant. Dwarf.
And this one's gorgeous.
No, it's not a desk for a computer, you muppet.
Oh, right.
It's a coffee table. It's a coffee table you'd never put a cup of coffee on.
I'm Greeny's substitute.
Because at 1995, you'd want your coffee to have slippers if it was going to sit on top of it. But
you've got half of one.
Oh yeah, but I'm using it at the moment to drive the screen shares. It's a viable computer. It's not a G5 either. It's a is it a G? No, it's not a G5.
Yeah, I think it's G5. Testament to design. It's great.
Is it what?
I think it's testament to design because I think it actually looks really, really nice. Really, really nice. I'm quite impressed with that. I'd seen this some time ago actually.
See, this is where would you? What would your wife say?
No, definitely no.
Yeah. So my wife would go. It's a board between two computers. Why do I want that in the lounge?
I put it in my office.
Windows computers.
I'd have no choice but to put it in my office. That'd be that's the point.
Oh, look at that. Somebody made a, what is that, a cooler? Set of drawers.
Maybe you could put two Sonos Play 5s either side of yours and get sneaking in that way.
Well, don't forget. No, I was just thinking. So, you know, like I said, it's a coffee table. You don't put your coffee table on the coffee cup because it's going to stain it, right? That's what the ejection tray is for the CD-ROM. You put your coffee in that.
There you go.
You don't actually put your coffee on the coffee table.
There you go. Yeah, it's got built-in cup holders.
So genius.
Well, is there anything inside them? I mean, inside the Mac Pros?
I guess so.
Well, but it's the old bits. But I'm thinking I could do a Windows version.
Really?
So posh, aren't we? Oh, my God, no.
I got slim to no chance of getting this one past the wife. Forget a Windows version.
I could probably knock that out for about 100 quid.
and make a whole pound profit on it, yeah. Yes.
No, I can get loads of Windows computers, can't you? They're always tossed in the skip.
Well, there's a reason for that, Muller. I've got to say, actually, nice. I've got a Lenovo Windows machine that I need for the Etcher, and I'm not that impressed with Windows 10. it's got some merits, but it's not horrible.
Well, you've got a cheap computer. If you put it on something with a bit of guts, it's fine.
Yeah, it's good. Good. So I'm quite impressed with the computer. I think it's a good for 149 quid. I'm just like blown away that I've got a functional computer for that amount of money.
Lenovo are doing some good computers at the moment. I've got to say, I actually just bought my son one from CEX, yeah. Which in the UK that's kind of like a second-hand computer shop. A pawn shop, yeah. And they do a 2-year warranty of standard on it, and it's so good. You know, it does 16 gig of RAM. It's just absolutely fabulous. And the design's lovely as well. It's got this kind of like a braille-looking top on it. So it's like textured. And that's the first time I've got my hands on a Windows 10 computer, in a huge amount of time. And I think it was like £179.
Everyone's just said, yeah, it's a pawn shop. And everyone's listening thinking, you bought a computer preloaded with Debbie Does Dallas on it. This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. Why do I do a porn joke and then go on to the sponsors?
That's just how we roll.
By TSO Host, they're absolutely brilliant. They've saved our bacon, and we really would need you. There are very few people last week who actually bothered to tweet out. Thanks to Linz, who definitely did. Please, 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 if you're listening to this show, make sure you get yourself on Twitter and social media and say thanks at TSO Host. For supporting at British Tech. That's what they want. They want the brand recognition of the loyalty of us, and they deserve it. So please, please give it to them. Sorry, Muller, can I just interrupt you there? Support TSO Host because we'd be lost without them. And also, thanks to Telestream for giving us the copy of Wirecast that I still don't know how to use properly because I'm editing shots on the fly. I'm an idiot, but there you go. I'll put a still in afterwards. And thanks to Hoya, who sponsored my glasses. Here we go. They're awesome. I've been at an expo yesterday, and everyone came up to me, and they talked about the Sentry camera system that me and Anders have developed. really keenly. And then right at the end of the conversation, about 50% of the people went, sorry, can I ask, where did you get your glasses? It's like, oh, yeah, well, funny you should say that, because I made the film for these and they gave me these. And ah, great. So Mark Culture should be getting a few phone calls. If you'd like some Hoya Unicus, then go to podcast at Hoya.co.uk. Podcast at Hoya.co.uk. And you can get the red carpet treatment. All BTN listeners get the red carpet treatment if they send into that email address. Time for the cool things. This may take a while. Please be ready and swift, because otherwise Chuck won't get back to back from lunch in time. Chuck, what have you got for us as a cool thing?
I want to point out a new book from a friend of at least some of ours. Some of you know Wally Trawinski. He just brought out a book, an Apple book, called Video to Go, that gives tips and tricks for creating better video. And I have to say, I've sat through a lot of courses and I've read a number of books on this kind of thing. This is not a technical book. This is more teaching you how to think about what kind of videos you're trying to make, what your end result is going to be like, and then guide you through ways to get there, the kind of shots you need to take, how to put it together, how to think about really creating something compelling. I can't recommend it highly enough. I had a chance to review a pre-release version. The release version is even better. And even if you're not into video, Wally's been some really amazing places and taken some really amazing footage. So he's illustrated it with his stuff, and it is just absolutely phenomenal. So go and check it out. I put a link in the chat to the Apple Bookstore where you can find it.
Yeah, Wally's a good guy. He does well with the video. He used to cut together the All-Star Mac Band thing, and did it fairly swiftly as well.
A number of times.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's just a fun read. You go through and you think, yeah, I knew that, or gee, I didn't know that. And that looks like fun to try. And that's exactly the kind of book that I love, because it makes me want to go, but whether I'm shooting with my iPhone or something else, to go and implement some of this stuff and just have fun with it.
Excellent. Good pick, mate. I'm sure that's an excellent read. I'll have to get that. Adam, what have you got for us, mate?
All right. I'm going to pick something that I just literally picked up and used this morning. So we have a little garden in the back, and some plants started popping up, and we don't know specifically what they were. This is a garden we've had a few things in and been kind of playing around with. And I was like, I think I read about an app that can identify plants from photos. So this is called Plant Snap. I think it's $4.99 in the App Store. And lo and behold, we kind of thought they might be potatoes because we had put some potatoes in there at some point. And it worked. I mean, I took a picture of the leaves of this thing that was sticking up, and boom, it instantly identified it. So it's got pretty good ratings in the App Store. Some people have noted they have trouble with it. You do need to kind of frame the photo right, and then it has a little wizard when you start up the app, and it talks about how to get the right photo to get the best identification. If you save the images and log in, I think they also run these through botanists to help better identify. So if it has trouble finding it or figuring out what the plant is, it will. It sounds like it'll get better over time. And I was just really impressed because I didn't expect it to work at all. It worked.
If you're talking about little wizards,
no, I'm talking about little wizards.
Yeah, you mentioned little wizards, and you mentioned your plant app.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe it sort of it got the wrong the wrong definition, the wrong identification of the particular plant you were. You're looking at
£3.99 if you want to buy it in the UK store.
Yeah, and there's no in-app purchase. There's no additional. You just buy. It's one of these. You buy the app, and it does its thing. It does seem to collect some data. So again, check your privacy settings. I don't think there's anything nefarious going on here, but it sounds like they're trying to collect data for maybe botany research and stuff like that. But I don't know. It worked brilliantly, and I was really impressed. And I'm going to be playing around with it a little bit more. I didn't try it yet. It has some sort of augmented reality mode. I don't know what that's all about either. But
cool.
I was just looking to figure out what is this plant we think it's a potato, but I want to verify that it is.
AR is just going to be surely a picture of the thing that you're already looking at with a tag on it. I would have thought that.
Well, it gives the scientific name, and you can go and get more information about it. I think it also, I mean, they're doing affiliate links to Amazon, you know, if you're trying to buy plants or seeds or something like that. So if you want more of them. So they are doing some things to generate some additional revenue, but not like egregious in-app purchase stuff. It's just $4.99, buy up front, use the app. I don't know. I was instantly impressed enough to be willing to bring it up on the show as a pick.
No, it is and impressive.
It has almost a 5-star rating, so I don't think, and I read through some of the reviews before I bought it, because, you know, $3.99 was kind of a lot to spend on something like this, maybe, but, you know, I think it's going to be fun, because there's often times where we'll see a flower or something, and we're out and about, and we'll want to know, what is that?
Right.
So this might help.
Okay, mate. Good pick. Like that. Like it a lot. Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
So my pick is something that I bought for the office the other day. It's a light bulb. It's a smart HomeKit light bulb by a company that I had never heard about, but that was listed on Apple's page, called Sylvania. The cool thing about those is I was looking, as I said, for the office. I didn't want to like install a Philips Hue bridge and connect it to our network and all of that, because, yeah, I mean, connecting something to the company network is probably not the smartest idea. So I was looking for something that neither needed Wi-Fi nor nor a bridge or anything. And those were the only ones. They're only $30 on Amazon right now. As I said, the cool thing is it's HomeKit and it only requires Bluetooth. So if you have any, like any area where you don't have Wi-Fi, or any area, like as I said, the office, where you don't want to connect them to Wi-Fi, this is definitely a good idea. The only downside I found so far is that they don't have a good app. Their app is literally just a firmware update thing. You can use the Home app, that's fine. But I mean, the Philips Hue app, even though that one is crappy, is still better. But other than that, I mean, they're very easy to install. The color, the quality, brightness, sure. Everything is great. Packaging is awesome. So it is a really good device. It's just the app could be better. Maybe there's a third-party app that I haven't found yet.
Do you guys not have Sylvania in Europe? They're a massive electronics company.
Yeah, it's I've like heard GE. Of them before with lighting.
I haven't. Yeah. Might just be me. But they're, as I said, they're really good. It's just their app sucks.
Okay.
But they mentioned it. So they're like, if you go to the App Store and you say you want to download the app, it just literally says, this is only a firmware update app. No other functionality.
Oh, okay. Steve, what do you have for us, buddy?
Well, I actually have something that may or may not be cool. And the reason I'm saying that is I've only tested it once. And the jury's still out. And that is a home cleaning robot from the company called Ecovax, and this is the Winbot window cleaning robot. Like I said, I'm kind of, the jury's out right now, because I put it on. What it basically does is it sticks to your window with a tremendous amount of suction. You wet some little pads that are on there, and it's supposed to trundle around your window and clean it very nicely. And so far, it's done a real good job of streaking the windows. But it's interesting technology. I need to try it on a few more windows just to see if it continues to streak everything up, or if it actually does a cleaning job. But rather pricey. I'm not sure I would necessarily purchase one, but since it was sent to me to do a review, I gave it a try. And
so just to be clear, Steve, on the cool thing, you've recommended something that doesn't work and is pretty expensive.
Yep, that's what he just did.
Thanks, man. That's well, I think you've not grasped what the cool thing's about.
It's a cool thing. It just may not work the way that people expect it to.
Yeah, okay. So if you want a garden ornament that can attach to your window, that'll clean you out, and not clean your windows, then
at least it's a robot. Like
Steve's
breeze.
Pick. Yeah, cool. The Winbot.
Great pick this week.
Streaks R Us, available from streaksrus.com. This bit scares me to death. Mr. Rickards, do you have a cool thing for us?
Well, I've struggled really because I keep forgetting what I recommend and what I haven't. I picked this little app. It's called Werble, Werble. And it's kind of like, you know, like for Instagram stories, that type of stuff. That's very cool and in vogue at the moment, isn't it?
Okay.
Instagram stories. But I guess it's for Instagram and anything else. And I'll just hold it up to the camera. Basically, what it lets you do is import your photo. And then you can add sort of these film type filters over it. Some of them are live. So you've got like live fire. Well, that's pretty, isn't it? So add live fire and smoke. So if you've got chimneys in the background, you can have smoke coming out the chimneys of your photographs. So basically brings your photos to life, if you like. It's a bit of fun. It's free. What's interesting is the layer system is very much like Photoshop. So each layer has its own sort of settings. And you can build up layers. I think I've got about 10 layers there. Which is pretty good for phone to be able to have 10 layers. And each layer's got something animated on it. There's confetti and stuff like that. So obviously, you know, probably kids probably would like this. It's a good bit of fun. But who knows? It's free. Why not? That is Werble. There you go. Try it out. Seriously, try it out. It's for free. I mean, my phone's full of free stuff like this where we just give it a go and think, well, what do you
use? I downloaded one the other day that you could do animation. You could highlight an area and you could get it to rotate. And,
oh, right, okay.
And that worked pretty well. And it was free. So.
I love stuff like that where you could say it's probably the worst throwaway app I've ever mentioned. But sometimes some people go, actually, that would work really well for me. So Werble. Werble.
I've put a link in the chat room.
Thank you very much.
There we go.
Who's next?
Well, just do it in order because I dread to think what Grinny can think.
Here you go. Mum and
Okay, I'll just drop a link in. We're going down the health kick earlier, and I've just bought myself a new toothbrush, and it's Bluetooth, and it remembers how many times you've done your teeth. You can also download an app, and it can listen to your toothbrush and actually tells you where you should be cleaning. It then reminds you to clean your tongue. Remembers it tells you to do your flossing and tells you to use a bit of mouthwash because your breath stinks. But
so it samples your breath?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
But it keeps a record and gives you little badges, so it'd probably be useful for kids who don't like doing their teeth. And it basically gives you little badges if you do your teeth twice a day, although it does ask you to do them three times a day. And it basically makes sure you do your teeth enough.
Okay, £98 at Asda.
It's actually cheaper at Boots at the moment. So it's £60 in Boots. It actually was reduced for £130.
It says it's £50 in Boots here.
Okay, it must have come down even more then. I should have bought it this week then, not last week.
£65 in Tesco, £64 in... £129 at Ocado.
That's its RRP.
Right, okay. Wow, £60 on a toothbrush.
It's well, you say that, but it's, you know, at least you're getting your teeth done and saves you having all that.
I bought an ultrasonic one. It's £15 from Amazon. It's okay. Brilliant.
Good for you.
No, it doesn't give me a badge. It doesn't tell me my breath smells.
Does it connect to your phone and upload all your results to the world?
No, it doesn't.
But why would you need that?
And I think that's kind of a positive.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yeah. What were we talking about earlier with data privacy?
Yeah. Let's share every time. Let's share.
Yeah, for Christ's sake, Muller, help yourself with the data issues. Don't send more up.
You haven't been brushing your teeth.
I know. Dentists love a goat.
Let us know what your next dental bill is like.
It was £35 2 weeks ago.
This is where he takes a GDPR claim against Oral and says, I want all the stuff. That's come out wrong. And then says, I want you to remove all my data. Why have you got all my toothbrushing data? And then they remove it. And then he says, what have you done with all my toothbrushing data? Okay. Greeny, what have you got, mate?
Well, shut up.
I'm pre-laughing because I know this is going to be good.
No, it's not. It's, well, it is good. I think it is good. So I did a new British Mac today, and in preparation for it, I was looking into it, and every Mac has got it, sort of, every Mac OS 10 has got it, and it is dashboard. Now, I know that sounds like a really rubbish pick, but it's free, and I travel about a bit, and I need to know what time it is in America and Europe and et cetera, et cetera. And it does, especially when this podcast comes out, it's probably going to be an hour before or an hour after. I get totally confused. So by default, dashboard is not enabled. So you need to go to the Apple symbol on the top there to go to system settings. If you type in dashboard, then you can enable it. And my advice is enable it as a separate screen. A lot of the gadgets or widgets, I think they were called, have been sort of out of date and not used and don't work. But if you want to just add the stuff that comes from Apple, which includes sort of time in different countries, the calendar, really quite useful, weather, and just a few other bits and pieces. And I feel sorry for it, but it's still there, but it's just hidden. So
it's in mission control, yeah.
Say again, Adam.
It's in mission control, because yeah, this is actually a brilliant pick, because I had the same problem. Excuse me, when I upgraded to Mojave, dashboard wasn't working anymore. I use it all the time for the calculator.
Yeah.
I hate launching the calculator app. I think it's a waste.
Oh, yeah. Why not just use Siri?
Yeah, but that's a pain in the ass, isn't it?
You can just use the command thing, command space.
Oh, that'd be silly. No, you're wrong.
I do that for simple calculations too.
Just enable it as a space. You just do three fingers to the right, I think, and it comes in from the left, and there it is. It's all there. All your time zones, your calculator, the weather, everything that you need. It's really cool, yeah. And it's absolutely totally free and integrates with the Apple operating system.
I have it mapped to my F12 key, so I just hit F12 and there you go.
Ah, so yeah. So it wasn't such a rubbish pick, was it?
No, it's Adam said it was a good pick.
No, you should go back to Leopard. You need dashboard.
Oh boy, Patrice doesn't like the dashboard.
No, I don't like it. I used it in the past, but it's useless now.
For a while there it was the hot thing. Had a lot of developers that were writing widgets for dashboard. Nobody's doing anything with it anymore. About every widget you find is from Apple.
Muller has a recollection about the calculator. What is it? You need to get a microphone, mate.
If you go into Finder and type it in, it gives you the answer, but it does bring up the calculator. I'm pretty sure it used to just give you the answer, but it now springs up the calculator with the answer on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
15 times 4.
There's a movie. No, there's still a movies widget. I didn't know that.
I'm not on Mojave on this one because this is an old computer, but it does work because we just did it, didn't we?
No, so 15 times 4.
Try Spotlight then. You got Spotlight.
Yeah, Spotlight works.
Spotlight will do it, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that was the one I was thinking of. Not serious.
Patrice, the web clip widget is still there.
Wow.
I used to train people that when I was in the Apple Store and blow people's minds. It's live, people. You can get a snippet from the local cinema, can't you? And cut out the bit where the cinema's on. It creates a widget from that.
I'm going to make a live feed widget right now.
Yeah.
I created a cafeteria widget for our university back in the day. So
awesome. Those were the days, eh?
Oh, God.
Yes.
Oh, give me Tiger back. I don't need anything else. Just give me Tiger.
You've got to be honest. That's been the best pick, hasn't it? Really?
No.
It really has, hasn't it?
It was an innovative pick.
Yeah. I like it. I'm with him. I use the dashboard and I like it.
It's not crap. Afraid to admit it. The toothbrush is easily the crappiest.
Yeah. Adam. Adam, I love you. Okay.
I love you too, Will.
mate, it's only show notes. It's fine.
Getting off track.
It's only show notes.
It's only show notes that you're stealing. Don't worry. You don't need to. You don't need to feel his ass and have sex.
Oh no! It's because he's. Well, it's backing up my backing up my pick.
Enough about backing up.
We love you too, Chuck.
Enough about backing up already. Where can we get a hold of you, Patrice?
As always, every week here on The Mac Show and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Adam, where would you be?
You can find me at MacCast.com, MacCast on your favorite podcast app, and MacCast on the social medias.
Excellent, mate. Chuck, where would you be, buddy?
Find me at MacVoices.com, and you can find me on Twitter as at Chuck Joyner. It's fun. Thanks again, as always, Ewan.
Thanks, man. Love to go. Mr. Sandy, where would you be?
I would be at appleworld.today and also on your favorite podcast channel as Tangible Tech.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you very much. Mr. Rickards.
Yes, just get me on Twitter at James Rickards, R-I-C-K-A-R-D-S.
iDiscover.tv still
going on? iDiscover.tv still going on. I'm just that busy.
And BTN Rocks offer code to get 20 quid off.
We'll get 30% off, actually.
30%?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
iDiscover.tv, if you know anybody who's into motion graphics and want to get a hand in it, Apple Motion, place to be. Thank you.
Cool.
I'm on a biker on Twitter. That's about it, really. And the executive producer of this
fine
show.
Fine established show.
Yeah. Executive producer with the worst microphone work ever.
Based on the fact there's seven of you plus me, can we have a word about bookings afterwards over the curry?
Yeah. Yeah, but all I'm saying is you didn't tell me these were coming.
Oh, it's my fault, right. You sound like my bloody wife. And Mr. Green, where will you be?
Well, you can find me at britishmark.com.
With a new episode.
With a new episode.
With a new episode.
Just a week or so. Yeah.
Yep, first one in sort of 8 months, I suppose. So you can't say that they're very regular, but they do appear sometimes. I try to do them on the full moon when I can.
It's like Ewan's morning motion.
I'm more regular than that.
So, yeah, no. British right,
I've had a shit in the last 8 months.
Anyway, there it is. Oh, Twitter also, if you want to follow me and my random comments. They are quite random, aren't they? Yeah, I know.
Actually, have you posted a show more recently than you've posted on Twitter, I think, haven't you?
No, I do occasional Twitters, I think.
Occasional being the opportune word, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I do occasional
every 10 years or so.
Yeah. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech as well as the news show. Don't forget the news show. That's going on every single day of the week. Carl Swagger's got that one covered. And we should have some new shows starting next month. We've been promising the window show for a while, but it is coming still. This show will not be here next week, Muller. Don't book any guests, please, because I'm not here, okay? I'm in France.
Unbook.
Yes, please. I will be missing the Apple event. There will be no Apple event coverage on this network, so please, unless someone else wants to do it via Google Hangouts or something.
Well, I'm going to do one on the 31st, Halloween, so I could maybe send
That's
it
not
in.
Live. That's not. That would not
That'd
be live.
The day after.
That doesn't count.
The event's
yeah,
the
but it will be my brilliant analytical... review of the products. It could be awesome.
Could be awesome. So there you go.
I'm not denying that. I'm just saying it's not live.
Well, it'll be live because Will will be doing it live, if that's what you mean. It's just not live when the event's live.
Yeah, it's not live. Oh, okay. I mean, your stuff's not live, is it? I mean, you record it and you put it out. I don't have a go at you.
Ewan was saying there's going to be no live coverage on BTN.
Well, there is, and there still isn't after all that. So there we go. What a day this has been. What a day.
I love you guys.
Yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks, maybe. And we'll talk more stuff about Matt, and there'll be some news to talk about then as well. So have a great time, and thank you very much for listening. God, thank you more than ever for listening.